So how's
good morning,
you excited
dude.
For yoga? You excited for yoga class?
I am. Yeah. So I'm going to yoga class later on. So that's why we have to record, and then I'm going to yoga class. So I was telling you just earlier before recording, a few days ago, I was MMA training, but my shoulder popped out because I have previous injuries already. So
oh, it wasn't.
Now
you
I'm
got
switching
so
to yoga, dude. It's like MMA, super tough. Yoga, super. Actually, yoga is not.
Yoga
not
is freaking tough, man.
Yeah, yoga
don't
is
mess
tough.
With yoga, dude.
That's true. David Goggins does yoga. All these Navy SEALs
at
do
the
yoga.
End of it, you'll be able to shoot fire out of your mouth, dude. You'll be able to teleport, and your limbs will extend and stuff like that, dude. Don't mess with yoga.
Do you think superheroes do yoga?
For sure.
Yeah,
for
Batman.
Sure,
does he do yoga?
Oh, 100%, dude.
Yeah, really? 100%. The warrior pose? I don't know how that
he
goes,
does bat yoga, even.
What?
It's like where you're upside down and you go like this. That's the bat yoga pose.
You think Superman and Batman do acro yoga? That's that partner yoga where one has to lift the other person up.
100%. 100%. Yeah, except it's awesome, always man. Superman lifting Batman. Batman's like, I'd like to lift you once. Superman's like, haha.
Have you ever tried yoga?
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't done it a lot, but I've done, like, some YouTube video stuff and things.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
What about you? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was there a couple of days ago at this yoga studio to check it out, and I live so close by, I didn't even know. It looks really nice. People were very friendly. But then the yoga teacher did not show up. So it got canceled.
Why?
I don't know.
Was he like,
they didn't explain.
Maybe he had to fight crime. Because yes. I automatically assume all yoga masters are crime fighters on the side.
Dude, but I honestly think, like, I don't know. For some reason, I was really thinking, if you look at the body types in yoga class, they're all very slim. And I wonder if it's from yoga or is it... because they just live very healthy, and that's why they're slim, and they happen to go to yoga class. Because all of them are so slim, I was just wondering, like, wow, how can that be? Because yoga is not, I think, the biggest fat burner. So, yeah, I guess it just shows they live a healthy life in general, and then that's why they're
probably
slim.
But I mean, wouldn't you say that you have to stay slim in order to do yoga properly? Or I don't know. What would you say about that?
Probably. But I mean, just yoga alone, I don't know if that's enough to burn a lot of fat. I really don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know DDP yoga?
No.
It ain't your mama's yoga.
What?
DDP is this ex-wrestler who was really big in his time. I think early 2000s.
He's a wrestler. I thought it's a type of yoga.
Yeah, so when he retired from wrestling, he started this thing called DDP Yoga. His name is Diamond Dallas Page. He used to come out to this theme song, which was like a ripoff of Smells Like Teen Spirit. So you just go like, dang, 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 and then he would like go, dang, 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 dang.
What? Can you explain? Because many are listening. So
wait, hold up. So he used to do this pose.
Well, you know, explain audibly. I mean, for people who are not watching, like, they don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh, so the pose is like he puts his hands together. With his thumb.
I love
extended.
How you just put your mic down and you're like.
Well, he does a pose. He basically does a pose where he puts his hands together and then it looks like a triangle.
Okay.
You know, because his.
Wait, is he the. Wait, JBL? No, that's another guy, right?
No, it's DDP, Diamond Dallas Page.
Who's
dude.
JBL again? He's like this investor
JBL
guy.
JBL
right?
was the cowboy. Yeah, he was like. He was legit. He made a lot of money investing. He's a wrestler, but like legitimately he made a lot of money investing, and then they were like, hey, why don't we just make you an investor in wrestling? And he was like, all right.
Oh, okay. How did he make money investing?
Before he was like a beer drinking, ass kicking dude. He would just whoop people's asses, and he had a tag team partner, and they were called the Acolytes, and they would just mess people up. They would drink beer and play poker and mess people up, and you could hire them. Like, as another wrestler, you could hire them to protect you. And so that's the thing they did. And then they were like, but wait a second, in real life, you don't drink beer and you're like really good at making money. So let's just make that your new thing. And he was like, okay. And then he became
I think he married this really famous financial guru also in real life. Okay. I think so. Yeah. I'm not really sure right now. Okay. Well,
he's a total dick though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he used to do weird things. Like he would like prank people by going into the shower. New wrestlers, he would go into the shower, and then he would start soaping up their butt.
What?
Yeah, he would start soaping up their. So he would try and freak them out, right? Make them think that he was gonna like violate them, just as a prank. It was like a prank. Oh my god,
that's so weird.
Yeah, yeah, he did this to like numerous people. And then basically, if you reacted in a weird way, like if you didn't react, then you were cool. But if you reacted, then yeah. If you were just like whatever,
so he's like,
dude.
Oh, you're okay with being raped? Okay, then you're cool.
No, like he would not actually go.
Obviously, but you know, still, that's super weird to even prank someone that he's would rape.
You know,
such a weird.
You know, Randy Orton. Jesus Christ. So, like, I'm wondering when this will happen, because this is like confirmed and out there, but Randy Orton, like, let's see, maybe he'll get busted for it, but Randy Orton, you know Randy Orton, right?
Yeah, I actually liked him as a wrestler.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So Randy Orton, he used to go, like, if there was a new writer, yeah, he would, like, if they were chilling by themselves in a room, he would, like, go up to them and he'd be like, hey, what's up, right? And you know, he's huge, he's imposing and stuff. And they'd be like, yeah, hey, how you doing? And then he would just stand there, and then he would put his hand in his pants, right? And pull out his dick. And then he would start like rubbing his penis, right? And then he would put his penis, and he would just like stare at them. And then he would put his penis back. And then he would extend his hand and like try and shake their hand, right? And of course, they'd be like, what the hell is going on? And then if they wouldn't shake his hand, he'd be like, hey, I'm the champ. You're not going to shake the hand of the champ, you know? And he would just be staring them down. And that was like a prank.
that's sexual harassment, dude. Yeah.
And then also check this out. I really feel bad throwing him under the bus, because this happened like 20 years ago.
Dude, but that's legitimately, I mean, that's super wrong to do. I mean, how can he?
Yeah, but you know what? It happened 20 years ago, and the guy wouldn't do this now. But he did do another thing. He hit on this on a female wrestler, and I guess she wasn't interested. Guess what he did?
The same thing? I don't know.
He went and he took a dump in her gym bag.
Oh man, that's
he left a Randy Orton in her gym bag, dude.
I mean, that's not sexual harassment though, no, right? I don't think
it is. Oh, that is sexual harassment.
Is that
dude.
Because I mean, obviously,
so,
something.
Well, yeah, because it's sexual harassment, I think, because it relates to the fact.
Oh, right.
Right? Like, I think it. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely harassment.
Yeah,
right?
That's
100%.
Yeah. Wow, he cannot take rejection well, it seems. Oh, my God.
No. He definitely couldn't, dude. He definitely couldn't back in the day. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, because, like, you know, people are getting canceled left and right. I'm just wondering if this will ever come up for Randy Orton. Well, but, you know.
Jesus Christ. Dude, I think I've been... Yeah, how do you know this, by the way? So it's so well known?
Everyone knows this. Wow, everyone. Okay. Yeah, it's like so well known about him. In fact, yeah. Oh, wait, but let's go back to the real thing.
Freddie Prinze Jr., didn't he also write for the WWE for a while?
Yeah.
So do you think Randy Orton went up to him also and did that?
It might
and
be.
He's like,
at the
I love
time,
Scooby-Doo, man. I really wanted to meet you. Nice.
I don't
to
know.
Meet
at
you.
The time, Randy Orton might have been a little more, you know, because when he did a lot of this stuff, he was very young. He was like 20 and 22 or something.
Okay. Well, it still doesn't excuse it. But yeah. Okay. Well, he's a great wrestler, but that's fucked up.
Yeah. So anyway, so
dude, so I was should thinking, I explain you know, like,
DDP yoga or no?
What?
Should I explain DDP yoga? Because that was originally actually.
Right. I want to go off in a different tangent right now, but okay.
Okay, go on, you dude. It's no man. It's freestyle, okay, man. It's your podcast as well.
No,
dude,
I was just thinking. I was just thinking, like, man, that guy cannot take rejection well, and I was just thinking, you know.
He should be more like you, dude.
No, yeah, you dude, love that was, rejection. I was thinking like yeah, I get, you know, quote unquote rejected so often, and I realize how I think the girls always are so amazed by how cool I take it. I'm like, okay, no problem. And I think they're always so I feel like they're kind of impressed by it because I mean, they don't really hurt my feel, you know. Yeah.
Well,
not, really.
Not impressed enough to date you though.
True. That's true.
Oh shit, yeah. I'm sorry, buddy.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. But it's a good thing and damn, yeah. I'll keep
last
keep
episode. Trying. Last episode of Kimchi Curry.
Yeah. Wow, that guy.
Oh, it is the last.
No. Never, dude. Right. Never. Oh, I was chilling. I was chilling after a show. I was chilling with a friend, with a couple of comedian buddies, and then next to me there was Sonny. You know Sonny, Indian dude, very funny guy, super buff, and then this other girl was like, she had seen my Instagram, and she was like, oh, isn't that Ali? You do the podcast together. They're both laughing, and I said, no, it's another friend. Dude, people mistake you the whole time, like Tarek, always like, oh, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the surprising thing was that the guy who thought Tarek was me was also a brown guy, and I was like, come on, dude. Because if it's like a white person, you can mess with them a bit, you know, be like, whoa, what? We all look the same, but like, if it's a brown
Indian,
guy, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Dude, does that happen to you too? Like you're standing to some random Asian guy and they're like, aren't you? Don't you do
No, because I only have one Asian friend, dude. I've got like a one Asian policy. Like China has a one child policy. I've got a one Asian policy.
You know, I was just thinking, man, it's so weird. Like, I don't know. Is it cultural? Because in the Berlin scene, there are so many Indian comics or South Asian comics. But there are so few East Asian comics. And population-wise, it should be very similar.
I wonder, actually.
Right? Yeah. It's so weird. And I think there are even more East Asians than South Asians in Berlin, for example. I think. Like, there are tons of Vietnamese people here. Chinese people are everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so weird.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It's interesting. Is I it mean, in terms of what?
Go because on. Maybe Indians are more loose, you know? Maybe. Because comedy is a very loose thing. Like, it's not an uptight thing. Is it that?
I think there was like a huge surge of Indian comics after Russell Peters became really big.
Oh, yes. Right? Yeah, true.
And I don't know, maybe for East Asians. And I mean, the thing is also like, it's a bit weird because it's like, East Asian is so much more than just Indian, right? Indian is like, you count maybe Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka as Indian as well, but that's like one.
No,
region,
that's why I say
East
South
Asia.
Yeah,
South Asia, right? So it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it is. Maybe they need that one person to like really make it huge.
Could be. You know? I mean, I guess also because thanks to Ali Wong, I think more Asians do comedy as well.
Yeah, probably. Sure. I mean, now you see a lot more coming up, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of Ali Wong's husband in her show?
Does he have a show?
Because he's also a stand-up, right?
Does he have a show?
Doesn't Ali Wong have this show where...
Fresh Off the like, Boat? No, that's not her, man. No.
That's not... No, but didn't she write it?
Oh, yeah. She wrote on the team, yeah. She was on the writing team.
Oh, she was just on the writing team.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe she did act. I never watched the show, unfortunately.
I thought she created it, though. No, okay, maybe not. I don't okay, think whatever. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, the guy on the show.
Randall Park, I think.
Yeah, isn't he also a
he's a stand-up. I saw a Laugh Factory set of his.
And he's Asian Jim also.
Yeah, yeah, he's Asian Jim in The Office. Yeah. And he was also Kim Jong-il in Kim Jong-un.
Ah,
yeah,
Kim Jong-un. Oh,
in the interview.
Okay.
The interview. Yeah. Or he has a bunch of movies. He's And then there's obviously Ken Jeong.
Dr. Ken.
From the Hangover. I thought his stand-up special was pretty funny, but like it doesn't have the best reviews. But I thought it was funny.
He's legit a physician.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
Yeah, he seems really
like,
nice,
F
too.
This,
like, yeah, yeah.
F this, I'm going to be a comedian.
Dude,
legend.
Dura too, man.
Yeah, true. Did you know that Dr. Ken and Bobby Lee once had a fist fight?
Really?
Yeah.
Like on scene or in real life?
No, like backstage in some comedy club.
Like what? You? I'm the only Korean in the comedy scene, man. And then
they were really mad. Like yeah, that? There was something going. I don't know. But apparently, it was really lame. Yeah.
For real, they fought over what exactly? That they're
just a bunch of things came together and then they.
Okay.
They didn't like.
Do they get along now?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think they.
That's why they openly talked about it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Man,
yeah.
Bobby Lee is awesome. Man, he's so funny.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that was a huge. When I was growing up, I watched a lot of Mad TV because that's the only thing. I didn't really watch SNL Saturday Night Live until later on. Because I had access to Mad TV, but not SNL.
How did you have access to it, though?
When I was living in Asia, in Japan, we had...
They played it.
Fox, I think. We had Fox. Yeah, and then Mad TV was Fox, and then they showed it. And I remember, I didn't understand everything, just in terms of humor, right? Because it's more adult theme. But I thought it was so funny. And then when I was a young teenager, I still remember what Mad TV was. And then I started watching it on YouTube. So I remember... those skits where Bob Lee was in it, and oh my god, I was dying. I thought it was hilarious. So same with Russell Peters. I think there is this thing like, oh, you see someone who's similar to you and kind of doing it, and then I want to be a comedy writer as well. So Bob Lee had a huge part in that. And there's this one sketch where he does Korean dramas. Oh my god, have you seen it? It's so funny.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's freaking love Bob Lee. His stand-up is also really good.
Yeah, maybe it's true about the whole thing.
Maybe.
About, like, if you see someone...
I think because, you know, sometimes I meet, like, other friends of friends, for example, and they're Asian, too, and they're like, oh, you do stand-up? That's cool because, you know, I feel like... Or they already see me on stage, and they're like, I thought it was awesome that you went on stage because I never saw another Asian dude doing it, and I think that's awesome. And I thought, oh, cool, but that's odd. Like, I wouldn't, you know... But now I guess it makes sense because I thought the same way about Bobby Lee and
maybe
also Russell Peters.
You should change your name and like start wearing glasses and become like the Asian.
Yeah, with a rice hat as well.
Then you can be like,
hello, you want me to do that stuff?
Yeah, like really you can start inspiring the masses. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And I can only do that if I go extra Asian, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do math on stage.
And then in 10 years when you're really big, like someone storms the stage, maybe Joe Rogan, and he's like, your name's not really Hang Low. Your name's Pascal. Show him your driver's license. And you're like, no, it's a Hang Low. They don't call me Hang Low. And he's like, show us your driver's license. And then you show it and you're like, yeah, but hang a low. That's gonna no.
Yeah, I should definitely do that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hang low exposed. Is he really Pascal Hausberger?
Oh, but that your type of Asian impression.
Hang low, have you ever lived in Vietnam? One time I fly through, you know. I go to Austria. We stay transit 2 hours. I eat pho. Of course, I mean.
How come your time. Version of Asian guy can do the L sound? It's not Hang Ro.
What did I say?
Low. Like, I mean, I guess the L sound. Oh, you have to say Ro. Sometimes, yeah, it depends on what kind of Asian.
Well, the Vietnamese, they can say the L, right? Like really. Yeah, they're like Lo.
Right. I think, yeah, Cantonese too. Chinese can do the L sound as well. Koreans is more like a R. No, not R, but like a R. Yeah, it's not also a complete L.
In Indonesia, they say the L as well.
L as well? Japanese is... R. More R. Ru.
Yeah.
Pasukaru is the Japanese version of Pascal.
Oh.
Yeah. Should I do that on stage? It's not Pascal Hausberger. It's Pascal Hausberger. Should I do that?
Pascal.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Yeah,
nice.
Man. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we figured out a path of success for you, man. Screw all these jokes about, I like eating dogs. Hey, my name is Pascal. I like eating dogs. Huh? What are you going to do about it?
Oh, should it be an Italian-American Asian guy?
You should be Italian-American Asian
guy. Hey, how you doing? My name is Pascal. Where are you from? I'm from Korea. There are a lot of dogs in Korea.
You know, in Korea, we don't ask other people how they doing. It's rude.
Are you bullying me? Vinny, man, he'll be the worst heckler, dude. Vinny Vincetti. Jesus Christ, he has to call in again sometime. Vinny Vincetti would be the worst. Can you imagine? He wouldn't shut the hell up.
What,
you just don't keep
you think
going.
Vinny Vincetti should be the Russell Peters, but for the Italian-Americans, right?
Dude, there are enough Italian-Americans. There's Sebastian Maniscalco, as you can see here. He's freaking funny.
But he's got nothing on Vinny Vincetti, dude. Or does he?
I don't know. I wonder, like, you know how Koreans or Asians in general, they differentiate between Koreans and Korean-Americans, for example, because culturally they're so different. But... And also, Korean Americans also say, I mean, they're Korean, but they're more American, right? They say it themselves. But I feel like Italian Americans are so proud of their origins. They always say, like, they're not Italian American. They're like, I'm Italian. But I wonder if people who actually have the Italian citizenship think of Italian Americans as Italian.
Doubtful. I mean, I don't know.
Right? Because it's so different. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And I mean, also, don't Irish people? Hey, I'm Irish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Russell Peters does a bit about that, right? Italian Americans and Irish Americans.
Oh, does
being
he?
More,
okay.
Being more Italian or Irish than the actual Italians or Irish.
I just
really
find it so funny how, like, in every mafia show or, like, in many mafia shows, they'll be talking to some guy. And I'm like, oh, look, an American guy. And then it's like, you Irish? And they're like, yeah, I'm Irish. And it's like, how can you tell, man? The guy looks American. He just looks like...
They've never been to Dublin. Like, they have never been there. They just... I don't know,
like,
man.
Somehow Americans can tell when an American is like... When two Americans are talking, at least in these TV shows, when two Americans are talking... The non-Irish American can tell when the other one is Irish American. He'll be like, you are Irish American? And the guy's like, yeah, I'm Irish American. Yeah. It's like, okay, but what gave it away? Like the accent, they're talking the same, man. They're both speaking American English, you know?
You know what I want to see more of?
What?
There's so many mafia movies, gangster movies, but there are no real Asian gangster movies.
Like, dude, oh my god.
Not in the US.
Go on.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, Cosa Nostra, which is great. Like, Godfather is amazing. But what about the Triads? What about the Yakuza? What about. There would be so much material there.
Oh my god, dude. What? Can I talk? Or
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Are there Indian gangs in the US, by the way? No, not really, right?
I'm sure there are, dude. Like, okay, so when I. So I lived in Canada for 2 years, and when I was there, my. My cousin used to hang out with these dudes who were super dodgy, and I used to think they were super cool back in the day, but they used to do super dodgy shit.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go into details, but they used to do something which was like some financial stuff, like involving credit cards and stuff, which was very, very questionable.
And, this is what I was thinking. Like, man.
Okay, 10 years later, I found out. 10 years later, I found out one of them went to jail.
Oh.
I mean, like, I don't know about the other ones, what happened to them, but I know that for sure one of them went to jail. And so I don't know what, I don't even know what he went to jail for, but there was some some dodgy stuff. And I don't know how, like, messed up it got, but yeah, there was
That's what I was thinking. Like, Indians in the US, or Indians in general, they're too smart, man. They'd only do white collar crime, or like, you know, like, they're super, you know, there's so many Indians who are good in bioscience, biotechnology. So they do some, you know, gene technology, illegal stuff, or hackers. That's,
yeah.
By the way, man, honestly, if they were hackers, like, they should just invest in hacking. They could do way more money than breaking in somewhere. Which,
you could do that.
Gangs do, but I'm just,
you could do that, or you could just work for Google and make like 5 to 10K per month. I don't know.
I guess. You know, dude, like, I was thinking the other day, like,
that's the thing, is that crime these days is like the only people who turn, or not the only, but a lot of times it's just impatience. Like, if you're a little patient, yeah, there's actually no reason for you to turn to crime, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because obviously you're, that's the thing, right? Criminals do have a lot of skills, right? Yeah. Good criminals have good skills, and if they just, you know, use it wisely, they would make bank. Either way.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have to rob.
And I mean, and the thing is, like, the 90% of the people who are making bank are just making bank because they were like, oh, let me find a legitimate way to make money.
Yeah.
Rather than,
yeah, man.
Anyways, but wait, yeah, I wanted to.
Oh wait, I also want to go into a different tangent. Speaking of banks and robbing banks,
what about the Asian gangster movie?
Oh, okay. You go ahead then. Okay.
I just wanted to say that the Asian gangster movie, I was thinking about that recently, and I was thinking about how freaking awesome it would be to make, like, a proper, you know, like, Lock, Stocks, and Two Smoking Barrels style, or like Cidade do Deus style.
Well, which one?
Cidade do City of God, the Brazilian one.
Oh, Cidade de Deus.
Yeah, exactly. But make it like about the Asian gangs in New York who came in the 70s.
That would be awesome. Because
that was some, because there was like a war zone, dude, over there, like, for a short amount of time, you know? Because
they came in the 70s.
Vietnamese, there were the Chinese, there were all these crazy. Yeah, because a lot of people came from Vietnam in the 70s.
Oh, and then.
And before that, already the Chinese, the Hong Kong had been there, you know, and they'd set up some stuff. And there was some, like, in Chinatown, there was some stuff going down, you know, and there were some legendary characters in that place. Like, there was a guy called something head, like Melon Head or something. Mm-hmm. And he ran the whole heroin. Wow. Like the whole heroin thing in Chinatown, and he was like crazy or something. I don't know. Anyways,
this is what I always wonder. Like, I think it's so interesting. You know, racism is starting to go away, right? I mean, obviously it's still out there, but gangs—that's the only place where you really treat someone based on their ethnicity only. It's so weird. You know, like, yeah, criminals. I mean, if they're really smart, they would do a meritocracy, right? They would only hire other gangsters who are really skillful, really powerful, whatever. But I feel like in gangs or organized crime, most often it's about where you're from, right? You also see in The Godfather, even that guy who I think was the adopted brother, he was not real Sicilian, and that's why Al Pacino's character, Vito Corleone, did not want the lawyer, right? Because the lawyer was, I think, Irish,
their brother,
heritage. And then they're like, you can't trust the, like, just because of where you're born or where your parents are from, it's such a weird thing, and gangs still operate that way, which is very inefficient. But anyways,
not necessarily, actually, but yeah, anyways, you were saying,
why? Because you and I, we were friends. Like, just imagine you were like, no, I only do podcasts with other South Asians, you know? How bad would that be? You know, you do Kimchi Squared, that would be your podcast.
No, Curry Squared.
Curry Squared. Sorry, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah. look, this is what I want to go talk about. Talking of bank robbers, we were talking about bank robbers earlier. One person in this podcast once dated a bank robber. I don't know if that person wants to get into it, give us more details, but.
I dated a bank robber?
Yeah, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, you did. Like, someone who you went to school with who then went on to become a bank robber.
Oh!
You're badass, man. You're badass, dude.
I love how the story changed. I dated a bank robber. I once, when we were freaking like 11 years old, I had like a dirty IRC chat with her or something. That was the freaking level.
Counts. Still counts. You're a badass for dating a bank robber, dude.
Yeah. And then she went to freaking, and then like 20 years later, I found out that she robbed some banks in the U.S., tried to flee to, I don't even want to go into details because I don't want people to Google it. But anyway, she got arrested.
It's a pity, though. It's a pity because, I mean, you imagine, you know, you went to a good school and then.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah. It's weird, right? For that something like that to happen. But it was like a real, it was interesting because it was like a real, like, oh, snap, like real life moment, I thought.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so like this is what's happening. Well,
I don't know. You're so into criminal girls. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Because 20 years before that, I was like, oh,
yeah, man. At 11, you're already like, oh, this girl is gonna, this one tough girl. And then,
yeah.
Did she exemplify any traits where you thought she might rob a bank?
I don't know if these things like correlate in any way, but she was very like. She was very stubborn? Promiscuous.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but yeah, it probably doesn't. So I don't know. But she was especially promiscuous, let's put it that way.
Okay, but I don't think that. I mean, maybe it could, not saying that it does, but it could certainly at that age maybe show, you know, lack of boundaries.
I don't know if that's the thing. That's the only thing I can think of that stood out in her character. That compared to, you know, the fact that she's a freaking convicted bank robber.
I mean, didn't you also say, because I think she like was lured into it by her boyfriend or something?
That was my theory. My theory was that she was in a relationship where the guy was. My theory was just that it was like the type of relationship that where, you know, where this kind of stuff escalated. Maybe they were into drugs or something, and then like they just, you know, the fact that anyway, so the whole situation, I mean, you know, you don't know
oh, that's, but hey, kudos to you, man. I mean, who would have thought that you date like super tough?
I never dated her.
Or flirted with her at least. I don't know.
Yeah,
well, wait a second, so you say she's very promiscuous but she still didn't want to date you?
I couldn't get in there, dude.
Forget her then. Come on. Hey, she's in jail, so whatever. You have a much better life.
She only liked guys with like an edge, and I was too nerdy.
She didn't like your Batman impressions?
No, she did. She wasn't down.
Well, she liked like tattooed guys? Did she like guys who always
She was like, all the guys she dated, they were like, they were pretty beefed up and they did breakdancing and stuff. And then,
I saw your naked torso earlier. You're buff.
Yeah,
putting it out there for the ladies of the listeners. Wow, dude. Do you think she's into? She has a kink, sexual kink, where during sex she and her partner have to wear masks as well, like. Like socks on top of the face.
Sometimes I wonder, like, where these thoughts come from that you know, you just. Sometimes
I just as if they're robbing a bank to make it more exciting, and then they're like, I don't know.
It's so good. At some
Did you ever think about, like, I was talking to friends, and I just wondered, like, wow, I really don't have any sexual fantasies. That's what I was thought. Like, mine are just so normal. what's normal, but just so regular that, you know, I don't know. I felt like kind of boring.
Should we go into this now?
No. Okay. Fine. All right. Make it awkward, please. Thank you for not. But not.
I
saying
think the guy who made it awkward, who was like, "Let me talk about my sexual fantasies." They are very weird. Missionary only. Is that weird? Can you? I love how you think that I'm like Sigmund Freud. Oh, Pascal, it is very normal. Do not worry. As if I can help you. Yeah, Pascal, you gotta open yourself up, bruh. Gotta go do a yoga retreat, a sexual tantric mastery, you know? What do you want, man? You want me to, like, come over there and be like, feel your penis. Feel it. Feel it extend.
Extend. Breathe.
Feel the blood rushing from your mind down into your body.
Oh, Jesus. All right. I won't mention that. Let's wrap it up, too. I've got to go to yoga class.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I hope the yoga class helps you find some sexual fantasies.
They're going to teach anything like that?
Hey, bro, isn't it weird that I don't have sexual fantasies? Bro, can you help me? I need some sexual fantasies.
All right. I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much. We're back next week as well. Please follow us on Ali the Asinine and Pascal Hausberger on Instagram and on YouTube, Spotify. We're on all those platforms. And please, if you have any questions or want to be involved, please send us a video of your question or statement, and we're going to input it in the video and talk about it. So we'd really appreciate it. Our buddy Nav has already done that weeks ago, and that was freaking awesome. So please do the same thing. And yes, if you have any questions, please send it in. Thanks, guys.
Peace.